May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Excuse me using my laptop. I'm not capable of using an iPad like Father Will does, and I have no printer configured to my computer at the moment, and I only discovered that 30 minutes before the service. I mean, I was a foolish virgin. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Modern translations of the New Testament help us understand the force of the word beholding. We would say, then Jesus looked straight at him. They had come to a point in their conversation where Jesus needed to look deep into the eyes of this young ruler and take the measure of him. Find out where his heart truly was. When Jesus did that, he knew that the answer he had to give to his question about how he was to receive eternal life would be heartbreaking. It would be too hard for him to bear. But Jesus loved him enough to tell him the truth about himself. To my mind, that is the most important lesson to be learned from today's gospel. No matter where our hearts are, no matter how flawed we may be, no matter how resistant we are to the promptings of the Holy Spirit as he calls us to amend our lives, Jesus still loves us enough to show us the truth about ourselves and patiently wait us out. What is so hard for the young man in the gospel today is that he learns he is not as good as he thinks he is. He thinks he is good because he's kept all six of the Ten Commandments that direct how we treat other humans. But what Jesus shows him is that he has not kept the foundational commandment, which is about loving God above all things. His wealth doesn't even need to rise to the level of idolatry. But Jesus knows it is causing him to compromise and try to serve two masters. Princess Diana once said, "They say it is better to be poor and happy than rich and miserable. But what about compromising by being moderately wealthy and just a little moody?" Jesus is telling the young ruler that an approach like that won't work. God expects all, not compromise. Jesus is uncovering that truth for him and telling him that he won't journey very much further in his spiritual life without addressing it. Jesus knows he is putting their relationship at risk by being direct. But he loves him enough to tell him the hard truth about himself. There are many people who walk away sadly when God reveals the truth about their lives. And there is a particular narrative context to Jesus confronting this young man as he does. Mark tells us that it happened when Jesus was on the way. In Mark, the way is not merely a journey in a general sense. It is the road that will lead Jesus to Jerusalem and the cross. So while Jesus' demands that he sell all that he has and give to the poor may seem extreme to us, it is far less than the demand Jesus places on himself, giving not just his wealth, but his very life for this world, including this rich man. In 1976, Jack Gantos created a favorite literary character that has charmed children for years. His name is Rotten Ralph. The books were illustrated by Nicole Rubel. Rotten Ralph is a truly obnoxious, large red cat owned by a sweetly naive young girl named Sarah. Ralph plays mean, practical jokes on his human family. Nevertheless, in all the adventures Gantos created for Ralph, the plot always ends with Sarah loving her cat, no matter his crime. Ralph, for his part, has no awareness about the effect of his antics until book 11, which is called Rotten Ralph Helps Out. This is where Ralph finds out what a nasty creature he is. Sarah has a homework assignment on the ancient Egyptians, and Ralph insists on helping, but he creates total havoc. First, he accompanies Sarah to the public library. While Sarah is trying to do her research, Ralph confounds the librarian by building a pyramid out of library books. Then he practices writing hieroglyphics on the walls of the library. They go back home with Ralph more determined than ever to help out. He proceeds to flood the bathroom when Sarah suggests they build a model of an Egyptian boat. When she considers building a desert oasis, he fills the living room with sand and palm trees. Ralph becomes more and more frustrated that his attempts to help are such obvious failures. But as his frustration builds, so does his self-awareness. He realizes that maybe it is something about him that is the problem. All along, Sarah loves her cat. Sarah finishes her Egyptian project and unintentionally, Ralph destroys it. Finally, once Ralph has grasped how truly rotten he is, he swallows his pride and allows Sarah to dress him up as the Sphinx. Sarah takes Ralph to school in his costume, and she earns the highest grade in the class. Ralph is redeemed. But it would never have happened if he had not made a right judgment about himself. And that is just what Jesus wants for the rich young ruler. The question, what must I do to inherit eternal life, was absurd in the first place. No one can do anything to inherit things. Someone else has to die. In this case, Jesus is going to have to die, and the rich young man is going to have to realize that he's not as good as he thinks he is, which is a death to self. And only then will he become what St. Paul calls an heir of God and a co-heir with Christ. Let me point out one more detail about St. Mark's account of the encounter between Jesus and this rich young ruler. Mark tells us that he came running to Jesus and kneeled in front of him. Everywhere else in Mark's gospel, when a person kneels in front of Jesus, they are asking for healing for themselves or for someone else. There is no doubt in my mind that Mark wants us to see this encounter as an opportunity for healing. Jesus isn't making an impossible demand. He is not asking for a Herculean test of the young man's faith. He's not laying out an extreme requirement for eternal life that we are to take as having a general application to all Christians at all times. We are not to think that it is obligatory that we give up everything we have. Rather, if we are to have life in all its fullness, and that means being made whole, healed, we need to confront whatever it is that hinders us and dispose of it, whatever it might be. And it could be a whole host of different things. And then we are to follow Jesus continuously. Unfortunately, most people do not travel very far in their spiritual lives, not because they're afraid of challenge or sacrifice, but because they too quickly avoid what they fear they will uncover about themselves. What if, like the rich young man, I were to realize that I am not as good as I think I am? What if there is more bad stuff about me that I might uncover? What if I were to find out that I am a rotten Ralph with no Sarah to love me? It's in order to avoid those uncomfortable internal questions that we turn to compromise. I give tithes of all that I have, the young man says. That's his compromise. It was the deal he had made with his conscience. But it meant that he had held 90% back from God when God demanded all his heart and all his soul and all his mind. The rich young man was compromised. Mark doesn't leave us with much hope for the rich young ruler. His story ends abruptly. But legends abound about what happened later in his life. Some people think that Mark himself was the rich young ruler. It is only in Mark's gospel that we hear that Jesus loved him. In that personal footnote, maybe there is a clue to the young man's identity. Mark felt loved by Jesus. But there is a stronger argument from culture and history that places Barnabas as the rich young ruler. The legend is that although on the day he met Jesus, he left quickly, he later came to see the truth of what he had been told and returned to Jesus to become a disciple and later a martyr. Those who seek spiritual growth will find that they are challenged by the gospel time and time again. It's not unreasonable to feel shock and to retreat as the rich young man did when he learned he was not as good as he thought he was. It's uncomfortable. And after all, we are just humans. But just as Jesus loved the rich young ruler, Jesus loves us too. Even when we retreat from him, we just need to accept our retreats as steps towards growth instead of shameful failures. And if we can do that, we will be on our way to inheriting eternal life. Amen.